All right. Taking a look at the power of God as it was released into the life of Naaman. As I mentioned, he was the commander of the army of the country of Aram. I want to finish this with a look at another demonstration of God's power. That's what this is about. We're talking about power. That's been our discussion for a few weeks now. We're looking at this from various perspectives. God's power. We're in 2 Kings still, but now chapter 6. Beginning at verse 8. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. You remember I mentioned to you before that this country was being used by God to really give the people of Israel a hard time because of their persistent rebellion. Amazing how God can do so much for us. And instead of genuinely appreciating him and loving him and honoring him and serving him in return for what he does for us, so many people all around the world, including all across this country, every ethnicity, even amongst churchgoers, in fact, especially amongst churchgoers, people decide that they're just going to take God for granted, which is a way of looking down on him, which means despising him in a very diabolical way. People exalt themselves above God and make the decision that they're not going to return good for his good, but they're going to live their lives their way, no matter what. And that's the way it was with the Israelites. They were constantly rebelling against God, and so he was frequently raising up armies from other nations to spank them, sometimes severely. And that's what was happening here. Verse 8, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. He was discussing his battle plans, his battle strategy, talking about where he was going to go, where he was going to prepare to launch his attacks. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. That's power. God's power to send knowledge to his prophet concerning the plans of the enemy so that his people could spare themselves some tragedy. Beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord the king, said one of his officers, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go, find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked him. You need to understand, he was not asking God that question. "My Lord, my master." He was referring to Elisha, who was his mentor, his boss. "What shall we do?" "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes so he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Ladies and gentlemen, here we see power. Power to protect. God had sent his military to protect Elisha. Those soldiers whom the king of Aram had sent weren't taking Elisha anywhere. They were not taking him anywhere. If anything, they would have been destroyed. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Ladies and gentlemen, do you suppose that God gives some of his servants with whom he has intimate relations the ability to call upon him to do certain things to our enemies? And God says, "I wanted you to ask me to do that, and I'm doing it." And he does it. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. More than likely single file, because they couldn't see, so they couldn't guide their horses. So more than likely he had them tied together some kind of way so that he took the one in the lead and all the rest following right behind, one trail, until they were in Samaria. After they entered the city, remember, Samaria is where the king lived. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. The Lord, with the power to take their sight away from them at will, and with the power to restore their sight at will, the Lord having given Elisha the power of relationship with God, that Elisha could ask God to take away their sight and their sight be taken. The prophet Elisha asking, "Lord, open their eyes so that they can see again," and God restoring their sight. That's power. Till next time. More on this next time.